Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Anne. And thank y'all for listening to Hannah's Heart. We are a radio program and a podcast that focuses on infertility mainly and miscarriage and child loss. And really, we talk a lot about subjects.
All different kinds of subjects.
Yeah. Like, and it's usually not just one issue. Yeah. It's several all at once.
And I think today we're kind of adding, we've another slightly topic. Talked mm-hmm. about this topic before mm-hmm. in shows, but we've definitely... not that I remember, have had mm-hmm. a show about financials.
The money. Show me the money.
Yeah. It don't make no sense. Before, it don't make no sense.
It don't make no sense, yeah.
So we had a listener ask us specifically. They're like, can you please do an episode about the finances?
Such a good idea.
And this isn't just finances for like, it covers fertility treatments.
Right.
Diagnostic stuff.
Hormones.
And it covers... Yeah. Adoption, if you go that route, then it's like money.
It's never ending.
Yeah.
Never ending.
It can be depressing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, money's hard enough to come by these days anyways, especially these days.
Can I keep it 100?
Yes,
for
please.
The people who voted for the man that's in office, it is expensive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Life is expensive.
To buy eggs. I remember, you know.
It went up.
When you add on trying to create a baby, it's just like, whoa. Now,
Jay, I mean, we went there.
As you can tell, I'm very passionate about it because I'm like, this don't make no sense.
It don't make no sense. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, what makes you guys angry about the world of finances and this topic?
I just got tingles.
What makes you angry?
Well, you know, as you're already struggling mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I mean, relationally, and then now let's add financially, you know? And so...
And it doesn't cost that couple to get a baby,
but
I got to do all this extra to invest financially when I'm already paying the mortgage, paying all these other...
Yeah, we've got all the regular bills that anyone else would have.
Right.
And then, now let's add in even gas money for trips when you go out of town or a plane ticket, because not every doctor has what you need, you know, right here in Mississippi.
And you don't know if the first treatment's going to work or this, like, nothing's a guarantee, too.
Nothing is a guarantee.
Even adoption, you go through and you do the home study, you do all of that, you're not guaranteed a baby. It could be years and years and years of waiting and renewing.
It's so many aspects that we can get on, because adoption, like, that's another one we've looked into. But before I get on that, I just, so for us.
What makes you angry, Jay? Tell us.
Help me, Holy Spirit. So for me, it's definitely the finances. So ours has been a male factor. My husband's been on testosterone shot, which, let me just say this, ladies, I'm sharing this because he's okay with me sharing this. Mm-hmm. Always make sure your husband or yourself is okay with this, because I'm his covering. Mm-hmm. But ours has been of male factors. Mm-hmm. So testosterone shots are not cheap.
It's not covered.
And it's not covered. Yeah. We have to, thank God we have flex. And so, like, we've had to even budget, to like a certain amount of our flex through
flexible
our
spending
job.
Account,
flexible spending for his testosterone shots. And that's just testosterone. Like, that's also his sperm count has been low. So now there's another shot that his doctor's about to add that is like $200 every time he gets it. So,
and y'all, there is a movement that wants to have insurance pay to, if you are born in one body and you want to start cutting off body parts, they want to pay
and
for
it
that.
It is trying to full force take over and
but
get those.
But if you have low
for.
Estrogen or low testosterone, that's not even just the ability to procreate, that affects your whole hormone and system.
Your
but that's
good.
Not covered.
I think that's a whole nother show, Kendra, because if we start talking about that,
It is.
We should get there. But I heard Abraham Hamilton III, shout out to him, on the Hamilton Quarter. He said that there are homosexuals and trans trying to get insurance to cover for them to have surrogates to have their baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I will say too, when it comes to fertility, there are a lot more coverage. Like it's starting to become more of a thing, and it is in the LGBT community. Like, y'all, we'll get into some of this, but there are some grants when I was looking into like, well, are there any grants that I could apply for, and go look at who's winning the grants.
Yep. The LGBTQ community.
They're the ones and it's selected.
You know, if you do struggle with being in the LGBTQ community, or you have friends and family that are in this community, we're not trying to like just dog on.
Yes.
Yeah. We work for American Family Association. I think if you listen to this podcast, you probably know where we stand on this issue. To me though, it as someone who did struggle with infertility, it is really hard for me to accept the fact that they're trying to say that they struggle with infertility.
That's not infertility.
It is not infertility. Your body works correctly, you are using the correct resources that the Lord has provided you
with. Yeah, that's good,
and so that is where I struggle to have, I guess, empathy or compassion in that department of wanting a child. Well, you have nothing wrong with you to, you know, to need that help. So I'm not trying to like come at, you know, the LGBTQ community right now with fists in the air, but, you know, I just feel like that is something to acknowledge.
Yeah.
You're not using the resources the Lord provided us with. So,
so I like that now that I got us all fired up, thanks, Kendra. We're going to take it to Jesus. We're going to try to talk about like, okay, with all of that obstacle, I think a lot of couples, me included, we'll start to feel sorry for ourselves.
Sure.
And we get into this, well, I'm not meant to have a baby. And I'm just kind of a poverty mentality.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it's like you see the price tag and you know what your monthly budget is. And you just say, well, this isn't going to happen for us. So why even get my hopes up?
Yeah.
And we can have this mentality of we just don't have enough, right? And yet we look at scripture and we see that our God, all things are possible through him and in him. And a price tag on a fertility treatment is not an obstacle to him or even adoption. Right, and the creative and unique ways that he works is always different. And so what God wants to do in your life does not have to be hindered by finances. God is king and Lord of all, and he is king over the economy.
And money doesn't stop his works. Money might stop our work sometimes, but he has so much control over that situation. If we, I feel like if we just live with our hands wide open and like, God, do what you want to do, I'm living freely, you know, for you.
Yes.
Show me which path you want me to take. Yes. And so I feel like as long as we're living like that and committing our way to the Lord, I'm not saying that's easy.
It's not.
It's not easy. But he does provide. Yes. He does. And so in different ways of providing, whether that's financially for you to go get fertility treatments or to do that adoption, or rather he shows you a different path that he wants you to take.
Yes.
So
something that you just said about having an open hand, we need to have an open hand, as well as, okay, Lord, what's the first step of faith I need to make?
Yeah.
What does that look like? Because, you know, the scripture says faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. And he's a God who without faith it's impossible to please him. So he wants us to have faith, but where is also that balance of me being a good steward of the funds he's given us? That's another aspect. So in our household, my husband's already made it clear, we are not getting out another loan or anything like that.
You're not going to mortgage your future.
We're not.
You're not going to keep swiping that credit card every time.
And a part of me was just kind of like, well, that's easy for you to say. You have a kid. But I thought about it. I was like, man, he's right. Like, we can't afford that. And because we looked into adoption. And so I want a baby. Mm-hmm. If we ever adopt it, I want a baby. I've dealt with the whole a kid already being out the room. $35,000.
Yes. Yeah.
$35,000.
I'm not going to name the ministry.
Yeah.
But that is way too much, bruh.
It's way too much.
Yeah, it's like, and so,
I think you bring up a great point, and that's something I think I'd like to talk about on this episode. What is the balance between what God calls us to do and the part where we need to not take control and try to do everything on our own? Like, how do we learn that? There is a clip I want to play for you guys and get y'all's response to. This is my husband's favorite, like one of his favorite movies. Tombstone is his favorite movie. This is maybe one of his top five. Where the Red Fern Grows. Some good gospel truths in those old movies,
y'all. It's been a very long time since I've seen this movie.
Okay, so let me set it up for y'all. There's this little boy named Billy, and he wants him some coon dogs so bad, and their family is poor and they cannot afford them, and he goes and he sees other boys in the community getting coon dogs and paying price, and he's just like super discouraged, and he has this conversation with his grandfather about coon dogs. Now, just go ahead and substitute in your mind the word coon dogs for anything that your family desires. Maybe it's child, maybe it's adoption. Let's go ahead and play clip one.
Oh, shucks, you'll have your own hounds before long.
I don't know, Grandpa. Sometimes I think God don't want me to have any.
That so? Why?
Well, I've been asking him for dogs as long as I can remember. Nothing's happened yet.
It could be that you ain't doing your fair share.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, if God was a mind to get your dogs as slick as cutting lard, he'd be doing all the work. That wouldn't be good for your character.
I don't want character. I want dogs.
You want dogs bad enough, Billy, you're going to get dogs. But you want his help, you're going to have to meet him halfway.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? What do you think about it?
All on the line. I don't want the character. I want dogs. I can relate to that so much.
Oh, for sure.
There's one more clip I want us to listen to. This is Billy's response to after his grandfather's advice. Let's play clip 2.
You know, I really didn't understand what Grandpa was trying to say to me in the store that day. But as a month passed, I thought a lot about what he meant by meeting God halfway. And I was willing to do anything to get myself some hounds. I was just plain tired of all the heartache. Slowly a plan began to form. I'd earned the money myself. The more I planned, the more real it became. And out of the clear blue sky, I realized what my grandpa had meant. My share was to do the work. And God's share was to give me the heart, courage, and determination.
That's good.
Any responses or thoughts? What does that make y'all think of when it comes to the world of infertility?
For me, the part where he said character, and he's, I don't want character. It makes me think, just even in all of our journeys, we can't say that we have not grown in our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to infertility, it brings out, first of all, it shows you your heart. Like, the heart of man is evil, but also when we come to Christ, he has given us a new heart in Christ Jesus. And so there's a lot of character that does get built. Patience gets built. Mm-hmm. And even my faith in the Lord. I mean, yeah, I still have not had that baby. I've never even been pregnant, but I know him in a closer way than ever before.
Yeah. I feel the same. It would be very hard for me to say that I would have that attitude if I could choose, if we're saying coon dogs or babies.
Yeah.
And you know, with John Micah, you know, losing him here recently, it'd be hard for me to have that attitude. Like, no, God, I'd literally, like, right now I'd say, like, I don't want more character. I don't want to be more like you if that means that my baby's taken. It'd be, you know, and I'm having to learn. And, you know, people have a way of saying, like, the Lord's got a plan for this. Yes. And, like, you just need to wait and see what God's doing. And I'm like, as they're telling me this, I'm literally, this is how I am in my head, you know. Yeah. Because I'm like, I know that. And I'm not saying that's the way I should be. That's not.
I love your honesty. Be real.
Well, it's hard to hear those things because I know those things in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I know, I don't know if John Micah's death will ever make sense to me this side of heaven. It might take me getting to heaven and being like, okay, God.
Yeah.
I see it now. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm still like him. Like, no, I don't want character. I want my baby, you know? And so, but I do think this is so good because that is what God's calling us to do, to open our hearts and minds and to be willing to trust him fully, even if that means I don't understand why I buried my baby. Mm. And so it's very, you know, it's hard to choose to do that daily, but that's what we're called to do. Rather, that's, you know, wanting to adopt or wanting to have a baby, wanting to start fertility treatments. And I do want to say this. I feel like people are very quick to say, you can do foster care.
Yeah,
foster
care is not cheap either.
Foster care is free. Yeah. You make, well, they give you money.
Yes.
I do want to say, in Mississippi, you make about $22 a day when you have a foster child in your home. That's to cover food, clothing.
That doesn't even cover the essentials.
No, the gas, the money, essentials. You know, like all the things. So like when people would say that to me, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a job that you make $22 a day? You know, and so anyway, I don't want that comment to come back like y'all, you know, like.
No, you know. I am so glad you said that. My mom, I have four brothers, three that were adopted. And even back then, it was even lower rates than it is today. Yeah. So bare minimal. Yeah. But I just want to give a quick story just to show how God's provision sometimes works in our lives in unique ways. My family was barely making it by. And they had 1 month where the van broke and the refrigerator, which are, you know, high cost. And let me just say, my family, I have very frugal parents. We grew up on mac and cheese and potatoes and Goodwill. Like, I still shop at City Thrift, you know. That's where we go, you know. And that training was helpful. I'm forever grateful for that. But there was not a lot of there was a lot more month than money at the end of the budget, you know. And anyways, that month was really rough. And mom and dad were just praying about what to do. And I guess the government had somehow not been giving them the full amount, and they were just praying, and they had they sent them one check, and it was the exact amount to cover both of those things.
Oh my goodness, that's a God thing.
In 1 month, and they were like, what? How is it? And just, you know what? God is a creative God.
He is.
And what I like about Billy, what Grandpa told Billy, was he said, if you want coon dogs bad enough, you'll get coon dogs. But if you want God's help, you're going to have to start talking to him. Mm. I do think that we can get focused. If you want a baby bad enough, by golly, you can figure out how to get the money.
Yeah.
But if you want to do it in a way that's pleasing to God, you better be talking to him along the way.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're determined enough, you can get anything to happen.
Yeah.
But he also says, when Billy prays, and he's like, you know, God told me, like, you know, I want you to have, you know, I'm going to give you the strength, the courage, the determination, but I want you to do some of this work. I do think there are some things that we are supposed to do along the way that are character building things financially.
Yeah.
And for my husband and I, that was a lot of like just basic budgeting of our family, a lot of delayed gratification.
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard word.
It
but
is.
Saying,
like,
you know what?
Stop doing Starbucks.
Yes.
Stop ordering all that stuff.
Don't go
Amazon.
On that trip. It is things that you have to give up along the way.
I want to paint my front door. I'm not going to do it yet.
Yeah.
I want to get, I want to buy these new fresh pillows, but it can wait a couple months.
How bad do you want it?
And I think learning, it kind of helped me learn new skills. We, during our time of infertility, actually started a little business doing furniture.
That's awesome.
And so that, helped every month, literally for 2.5 years, every single week I had a piece of furniture to do.
Wow.
And I still am amazed by that. Well, now I don't do it anymore. Once we started foster care, and I started working here at AFA, there's no time
Zero
for that.
Time.
The Lord, I feel like, used something in me to be creative, to get me to work with my hands.
Yes.
Because I do feel like that's important to do. And to use that for, I feel like, for his glory. Mm-hmm. And to also, we were able to save some of that money to put towards doctor bills that we weren't expecting.
And it was work you enjoyed, because God designed us to be productive.
Right.
And we live in a world that views money and capitalism as evil and it's greedy. No, God designed us to build our families and to help others.
Yeah.
And like, building wealth is not, that's actually a biblical principle.
Right.
As long as you're not greedy and hoarding, you know.
For sure.
But especially using the skills and talents that he's given you that already come out of you. It's that kind of work is actually rewarding. Like, it still costs you something.
Yeah.
And it takes something out of you.
I had to wake up early in the morning and work there before I went to my other job for the day. And then when I would get home from my other job, I would work on furniture again and on weekends. But like, looking back, I'm like, it was so worth it.
Yes.
It was so worth it.
I have a question for y'all, though. Because I have not done what y'all have brought up in terms of finding that extra income. I'm currently thinking about doing that. But my question, how far do you think one is to go in saving? Because this is what I'm hearing. When you're extending yourself, because you already have a job and you get another one, what about your marriage? What about you, that investment in your walk with the Lord? So that's like, those are the things that I get concerned about. Like, okay, I'm already tired with what I currently have. You see what I'm saying?
So this is our story. Mm-hmm. Will goes to work around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. He went for sure around 3:30 back then. So he wasn't there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would get up 4:30 and do my devotion, and which is crazy to think back on quiet
so
mornings
early.
Now. but I would start working around 5 o'clock, and then I would at that time I went in to work at 8:30, 8:45. I worked at the Autism Center here, and then Will gets off around 1:30, And so, honestly, it became a thing for us to do together.
That's
he
cool.
ended up wanting to paint or sand mm-hmm. in something, or, you know, he got a new drill. And so he was able to use that kind of stuff. And we honestly learned a lot together mm-hmm. during that time. I'm not saying that would be everybody, because you have a really valid point.
Yeah.
Because if it's taken, if it's taking you out mm-hmm. of the house all the time, then, mm-hmm. right, then what are you sacrificing? I'm not saying that you might not be called to do that, but yeah, are you sacrificing that time with your spouse that you might not should be sacrificing?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you bring up a good point just in general about in finances, when you're choosing what to spend money on, God made you to be one.
Yeah.
And so if you're not in agreement with your spouse about what you're spending money on, that's going to be a constant source of division.
Yes.
And infertility is hard enough already. So, like, you know, if one of you wants to do said treatment or said path that costs money and the other doesn't, I would really encourage you to pray until you come to agreement mm-hmm. or at least I'll agree to that. You know, they might not be like, I'm not excited about it, but I've come to agreement to, like, this is the route we're walking, so that that you don't have that division. But just also to go back to your, like, how much time and energy, before you have kids, you do have more available time in evening. And it is important to spend time with your spouse, but God knows the individual and knows how much of if your job is pushing you to the max, you know, and you're like, I have nothing left to give, then that might not be the best option for you.
Right.
But if you're like, you know, I got some time on the weekends and I got something in me to still pour out, then ask the Lord what to do with that. And ideally, if it can be something that also isn't just absolutely horrible and not fun for you, then that's a perk. But your attitude that you approach the work with is also important, because I think we can try to do everything in our own strength and we can cut God out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you the story of two Kendras. Okay. Kendra number one, when we started with our infertility journey, I was like, where is this money going to come from? And I felt like I have to make this happen mm-hmm. by Jove. Mm-hmm. Like, if I want a kid, I'm going to get one. And so I looked up, like, ways online, like the get rich quick schemes, you know, and I'm like, no, we're not going to do that one. We're not going to do that one. There was one, y'all, it's so embarrassing, but it was like, you can make money playing these games online. And I was like,
I'm not judging.
I've
been tempted.
I tried it.
Did you?
I didn't put any of my own money in it, but I was like, they give you like a couple dollars and they're like, to start this. And I was playing solitaire. It was what it was. And I was like, are people really getting money playing solitaire? My husband got on me, y'all, because I was playing it all the time and I was getting so, like, stressed about it, and I was like, Eric, don't talk to me right now, I'm in the middle of a solitaire match. And he stopped me one day and he's like, Henry, you are always on that game, you don't even seem like you're enjoying this. He was like, how much money have you earned so far in the 2 weeks that you've been playing this game? And it was like 25 cents.
Oh my goodness.
He was like, I think our time can be better spent. But God used that as a heart check for me to say, you are doing this in your own strength, girlfriend, and you have not, like Billy, invited me and said, you know,
come be a part
of this. So I prayed that within the week, you guys, after I prayed that prayer in my heart, these freelance jobs started coming to me, and it was stuff within my, like,
your gifts.
And
my repertoire.
And it was stuff that I got to do from home, so it didn't take me out of the home a lot. It was stuff that I could do on my own time. And it also was kingdom stuff. It was like writing children's curriculums.
Which was awesome.
Yes. And one of them was writing a kid's cartoon, and I was getting to help, like, come up with the plots for different characters. Character building thing. So it was something I enjoyed anyways.
That's
and I
neat.
Did have the time. And I do think a lot of us have more time than we realize if you take out how much time you sit in front of the tube or on your phone.
Yeah.
There probably is a little bit of time that you could carve out to say, I could do something.
Yes.
I'm guilty of that right now.
Yes.
One thing I did want to say before the show's done, I also feel like we're called to lean on our church family,
or
on our work family as
That's
a
good.
Ministry. And I think people find joy in helping that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I had a friend who, she was actually on the show because their adoption failed.
Mm-hmm.
But she and her husband raised more than enough money to adopt overseas.
Wow.
Where they were wanting to adopt from.
Wow.
And so she did that she's so creative, but she came up with different fundraisers.
That's awesome.
With getting princesses to dress up and little girls coming to that, and t-shirts and coffee cups, different things that I feel like, you know, if you feel ever comfortable with doing something like that, we're here for you.
It allows the body of Christ to participate in true religion.
Yes, because that's what we're called to do. Yeah. And so, anyway, I do want to say that don't let pride or fear keep you from saying, I need help. Do you have any ideas?
That's good, Anne.
So,
I love that.
Well,
hey, a couple.
Like you're, I'm sorry, I'm getting convicted. No, you go, girl.
A couple quick resources. Financial Peace, Lord.
Lord.
What am I trying to say? Go sign up for some training if you haven't already for you as a couple. That's just going to be helpful in your marriage in general. But it's also helpful for this topic. Grants, if you're interested in adoption, Show Hope is one that I've heard a lot of people have success with. And there's a lot of ones specifically for Christians. What's and you can apply for multiple of them.
The Beth Forbes one, do you remember?
Yeah, I would go to her page and she posts
Beth
a
Forbes.
Lot.
She was on the show. Yes. And there's grants that she helps give out to.
And there are grants for different fertility treatments and things too.
Yeah.
But prayerfully consider which of these you apply for. Some of them require you to pay in order to apply for it. There's like a registration fee and you're not guaranteed anything. So just pray about what the Lord would have you to do. Hey, we're praying for you. God is rich in mercy and it is not too hard for him. So invite him into the process.
Yeah. Thank y'all for listening to Hannah's Heart. I enjoyed today.
Me too. We'll do this again soon, hopefully. Panel discussion.